Welcome to the Alex Ford Podcast, where we bring you the latest strategies to build a six or seven figure online business and quit your 9-to-5 job. You'll hear from the best online entrepreneurs, the top marketers, and the rising stars who are making it happen right now. Right now. Every week, you'll get actionable steps to turn your digital marketing dream into a profitable and rewarding full-time career. Here's your host, entrepreneur, world-class trainer, and marketing strategist, Alex Ford.
Hey, what's up? It's Alex here. Great to have you tuning in. And man, do I have a special episode for you today. So as you can see in the title, we have a veteran digital marketer who's going to reveal his secrets to a six-figure income. And that veteran is actually me. And I thought, what better way to celebrate my 12 years of being in the online business, digital marketing, home business industry, than to share an interview of me where I was interviewed by a really good friend of mine. He's an industry leader, very well known, very respected, multiple eight-figure earner. He even built a company that was built to $200 million worth of sales online. Someone that really, really knows online marketing, making money on the internet. And he interviewed me on one of his podcasts. His name is Dave Sharp. Dave's someone that I've personally worked with as well. I've been mentored by him, coached by him. I've worked in one of his companies as well, Legendary Marketer, as his marketing manager. So I really got to also learn a lot about marketing, the inner workings of a company, and really training thousands of people to help them to be able to quit their 9-to-5 jobs, and even people that we've trained that have gone on to have their own seven-figure companies as well, which is just amazing, an amazing opportunity and experience that I got to have. So that's a little bit about Dave, a little bit about how we've worked together. As of today, I'm still an affiliate of his company. I promote a lot of his products, a lot of what they do, still helping people to be able to start their own online businesses and be able to get to a six-figure income. So within his company, I've achieved platinum status, which means that I've made over $100,000 promoting his company's products. And I've gone on to do way more than that now as well, and with multiple products as well. And one of the coolest things that happened was, so I'm releasing this in August 2023. And in December 2022, so literally just a few months ago, I was invited to speak at one of the events or a mastermind for his company in Florida, which was an incredible experience. And I was just able to deliver tons of value to be able to help people just break through and create that huge success in their businesses, which a few months later, the training that I delivered has helped tons of people to be able to create success. And I've been seeing it constantly online, people just smashing new goals, hitting six figures, multiple six figures through the training that I was able to deliver in his company. So it's just been an amazing experience, amazing an opportunity to be able to do that. And in this interview, I'm actually going to share a lot about what it's taken me to create success over that decade-long journey, or over a decade now, especially in the online business industry. So what it takes to create success and financial freedom, so that ultimately you can do whatever you want with whomever you want, whenever you want. So really having that total time and financial freedom, and you're going to learn how to be able to do that even if you're a complete beginner. Like, trust me, you know what you're going to learn in this interview, it's going to set a foundation that's going to allow you to be able to go on to achieve huge success in your life, of course, as long as you take action on what I'm going to share. I'm even going to share some of the mistakes I made over the last 12 years being in the industry. So that way you don't have to make those mistakes too, right? So are you excited? Because I sure am. I know maybe you have watched this interview. I know most people that do watch this episode probably haven't watched it. And maybe if you even have watched it, it might be worth watching it again as a refresher, because really there is some serious gold in this episode that you're going to want to take away and implement into your life and your business. But first, before we get into it, I want to share a short clip with you, right? And this short clip is really close to my heart because it's something amazing that happened in my business. And it's a clip of to show you what is possible when you start your own online business and you begin this journey of making money on the internet. Now, I'm not sharing this to flex. Well, maybe a little bit, right? But it's rather, again, to show you, again, what's possible for your business, but even more, what's possible for your family, right? Because this video, it's going to show my children are in it. We go on this little journey in this short clip, but it's more about showing you the example that you can set for your children, because building an online business, being able to generate income online, being able to make a six-figure income online, it's not just about the money, right? Although for many people, it can just be about the money, or maybe you can start that way. But once you start making that money and you set yourself free, the impact that you have toward the people around you is huge, especially if you have children, because they're going to watch every move that you make. And when you do create that success online, well, guess what's going to happen? Your children are going to be watching everything you do. They're going to start following your steps. And when you create freedom for yourself, you're not just creating freedom for yourself, you're creating freedom for your children so that when they grow up to be adults, they too are going to pursue a life of time freedom, financial freedom, having freedom of choice. And you're actually creating a new generational cycle, a positive generational cycle, where for generations to come, because of a decision you made today, all those future generations are going to be impacted and you're going to leave an even greater legacy, not just money. It's going to be a legacy of what's possible and what people like, what your children and your grandchildren and so on, what they're going to be able to go on and achieve, right? So I'm excited to share this with you. So I'm going to play this clip now. And after the short clips, only a couple of minutes after the clip, the conversation or the interview is going to start. And I know you're going to get a ton of value from that and even possibly some laughs. And by the way, if you're tuning in on an audio only platform, this is an episode you're going to want to watch. To do so, just go to YouTube or Spotify and search Alex Ford Podcast. All right, enjoy. Hey, it's here. Come on, I want to show you. You're not going to believe what just came. We're going to get the kids. Hey, kids, it's here.
It's here.
It's here. Yeah, it's here. You want to go see what it is?
Yeah.
Come on, it's at the door. Let's go, guys.
Go.
Come on, big boy.
Yeah.
So excited to share what this is, because this is an example of what is possible with building an income online.
Me dummy.
Ready? Are we ready? It's an award. How cool is that? Check that out. Whoa, Ivanka, can you read what it says, my love?
This certificate is proudly presented to Alex Ford for earning 100,000 income
commissions. So this is an award because I just made another $100,000 with another affiliate program. $100,000. Imagine making that in your business. Ethan, where is this award going? Right there. And I want to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Does this inspire you?
A lot.
A lot? Why?
For making money in the future.
For making money in the future. And you guys want to make money?
A lot.
A lot?
More than you!
More than
you!
Me.
And you!
And you, and Ethan, and Ivanka, how do you guys want to start making money?
By starting to flip houses.
By selling lots of houses, I like that one. And Ivanka, what is a way that you could start making money now?
YouTube,
yeah.
Hey
Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And I have, wow, this is going to be a fun conversation, okay? This is going to be a really fun conversation because as you can see from the headline, Spammy to Season, Lessons Learned from a Veteran Digital Marketer. We are going to talk about the good, bad, and the ugly and how this gentleman has, over the course of some time, turned his business from a hot side hustle into a real career that he supports his family with all the way over in Australia. Please help me welcome Mr. Alex Ford. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, Dave? So good to see you again. I saw you yesterday.
I know. What's up with that? All this time we're spending together lately. Like, man, it's great. It's wonderful.
You proposed to me.
Even put a ring on your finger when we hung out. Ring. I mean, what is up this bromance?
Oh, man, tell me about it.
Well, we were overshadowed by the Wonder Women at the event, that's for sure. I mean, holy moly. I mean, with Emily, you had Amy Hires, you had Sarah Thompson. Yep. It was a lot of heat. A lot of heat at this mastermind that just happened. That's what we're talking about. Alex and I were just hanging out here just a week ago in Orlando, Florida. It's exactly. Monday now. So basically almost exactly a week ago, week and some change. 10 days ago, we all flew into Orlando for our mastermind. And we have these masterminds a few times a year. And this one in particular, they just keep getting better and better, Alex. And this one, I'm going to have to say, was my favorite mastermind that I've been to so far. Just the power of to see the quality of people that are coming into this business and industry now, to see the way that even new people are able to teach these skills fast. Many of those women who were up on the stage teaching at the mastermind this last, 10 days ago, you and I, we're old dogs, look at us, these ladies have only been doing it, for 6, 7, 8, 9 months. Obviously Amy had some extra experience in network marketing, but what is your, first of all, just your take after being in this industry, you've done network marketing, you've done affiliate marketing, just where we are right now, the opportunity, the speed at which things are happening, the amounts of money that new people are able to generate because of the amount of traffic that they're, just give us a state of the union and you can compare it to what you've seen over the past 10 years, but just what's your general state of the union take on where the opportunity, this industry, where we're at right now?
All right, let's get official here, hey? Yeah. So state of the union.
I know.
For number one, I'm mind blown at the opportunity right now. I mean, I think you got into this industry just a few years before me. So I got started 2011. I think you were like 2008, roughly.
Yeah.
So we were around the same time and we've seen the changes. And number one, I know there's a lot of new people here and I do want to speak to the new people so that you understand like what's changed. But like you said, the ease of making money online, it actually has got easier, a lot easier. Now, is it like, push a button and cash is going to rain down from the sky? Absolutely not. You still got to put in the work. But today, compared to 11 years ago, 11 years ago, the strategies were Facebook, paid advertising, right? Sure, it was easier, but you had to spend money.
Right?
Blogging. Yeah, blogging, paid ads. Paid ads can have that bit of a technical, scientific, mentality to it. Numbers and analyzing and metrics. And, it's not for everyone. I enjoyed it, but it's not for everyone. Blogging, right? Oh man, sitting there writing for months was another thing. YouTube was kind of starting off new. So what else? I mean, I got started in network marketing. And in those times, you know, there was, I shared this at the mastermind, right? Running like spammy work from home ads that I used to run as Facebook ads in Facebook groups. I was doing Craigslist for a while. Ooh. And get this, Dave, because I'm in Australia, I had to buy SIM cards from the US, multiple, to be able to get on Craigslist, have Craigslist accounts shut down just to run this spammy work from home ads, putting bandit signs on street, on freeway entries and exits. So like literally I got like 300 bandit signs done. My wife was pregnant and she's in the car with me driving around. And I'm like freaking out, like looking behind my back, like are the cops gonna like come and get me? And I had multiple phone calls of people calling me, abusing me, because I'm putting signs on street freeway exits with my phone number. And
right. Wow.
Oh my God.
The things we've done. I know. And I did similar things. I mean, magnets on cars, you know, driving around town, you know, like, you know, going to generate all these leads from, you know, a magnet on the side of my rusty truck. Or I'd put the signs in my yard, and I lived on a main street. I thought the extra traffic would really generate more phone calls. Not a single one. Not a single.
Yeah.
Never a single call. Okay. Only homeless people throwing my signs in the street as they were walking by my house at night. That's all that was generated from that. The only activity. So
I felt that pain. It's like slowly over time, my signs kept disappearing until eventually you just saw two. Then one, and then they're all gone.
Yeah. I mean, now somebody can come online and be damn near, you know, TikTok famous, Instagram famous, and be generating leads from one video. I mean, and this is not what we should all be aiming for, to be, you know, having our videos go viral and that. That's not the only point of creating content. Yeah. Sometimes we think that likes equal money, but it doesn't. Likes don't always equal money. But still, to get 10,000 views on a video, when we started or even up to for a couple of years ago, was very difficult. And usually it was going to come from YouTube, and you had to have quality content that you were posting on YouTube, long form stuff, not short form videos that were easy to make. So, you know, in a way, the playing field has been even more leveled, and yet the people still think that it's as hard because they're coming into it, and that's the only context that they have, right? Which is understandable, and I don't want to make people feel like, oh, you should not complain or you should not, but the truth is that it's even going to get simpler. Now we've got artificial intelligence that's, you know, going to be running our entire business for us, or so some of us think or are hoping, right? That's not going to happen. But there's going to be more tools that are going to be making it easier and simpler for us to be able to get stuff done. It's going to be a matter of where we direct our energy. So after a decade of doing this and, you know, knowing what you know and seeing what you've seen, What is kind of your daily method of operation, and where do you direct your energy? You've also got a wife. You showed video and pictures of your family at the mastermind. You post about them on social media. You've got a busy life. What have you learned about focusing and where you put your attention, and kind of how do you define income producing activities versus just busy stuff?
Well, before I share that, just want to share a little bit about before I got into the whole industry, because it'll kind of help.
Absolutely.
But before I go, and I shared this at the mastermind as well, but I shared that before I got into the industry, you know, I mean, I was just like everyone else, working a job I hated, wasn't fulfilled, $50,000 debt. I didn't even have a wife. I didn't even have kids. So firstly, I wanted something. Actually, I didn't even know you could make money online. For some reason, I just attracted this industry, and I love the idea of making money online, right? And, you know, when I saw it, I was like, cool, I want to make money online from home. When I have kids, I don't want to be, you know, working a job where I'm not going to see them. Because as a kid, for me, that was tough because my dad was hardly ever there. He was always working. You know, I don't even remember spending time playing with him or him saying, "Hey, let's play." He was always doing stuff.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. But that's what attracted me to the industry, right? And I got into it and, you know, I did pretty well with network marketing after that initial trial and error. But I had some challenges in the beginning with network marketing. And this, I'm saying network marketing, but this is applicable to anything, right? If you're new starting an online business in the last few days, weeks, months, whatever, it's going to be the same. And for me, I had some bad habits I'd build before I joined this. And the bad habits were, you know, I tried a lot of different things. Like from, you know, since I was 13, I tried, you know, one little attempt at graphic design, then web design, then starting a rock band and then having a recording studio and a lot of things, right? So for me, I had this mentality of just going from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, hoping that that thing is going to work. And it's that thing on its own is just going to become successful, right? It was a mentality thing that I had. So when I came to network marketing, I had that mentality as well, right? And, you know, in online business, we'll just say online business, don't want to talk about that anymore, but coming to online business, you know, going from strategy to strategy to strategy to strategy, trying to find that thing that was just going to work on its own, no focus, you know, being distracted, you know, watching TV more than I should be working on my business. So when you said, what are some of those things to do with focus? Like when beginning to do something new, we go to number one, choose one thing that we're going to do in terms of a business, right? And focus on that, right? Just like remove all the shiny objects. You know, like for me, I constantly unsubscribe from email lists. If I'm ever, you know, I get a new email, oh, I'm on an email list. You know, unsubscribe from as many things as I can to get my focus as, you know, focused in as I can. You know, ignoring all the gurus, ignoring all the ads, because marketers know how to market and they know how to sell and they know how to make you feel like you need all their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So realizing I got to eliminate all that stuff as much as I can and fully focused, right? Putting those blinders on, you know, that was a huge thing that allowed me to be able to get, you know, momentum. And I think that's where most people kind of fall into that trap when they're new, right?
Yeah.
Distractions and shiny objects.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And knowing when you're being marketed to and being able to see good marketing. So it's not such a, you know, you don't feel like you're going on such a whirlwind. When people get started in this industry, they're coming into learning marketing. So you're now going to be around a lot of marketers who are going to be just marketing, marketing, marketing. And, you know, we are really good at all of us marketers, as you learn the skills, you know, marketing our products, our services. And absolutely, everybody's got a course, everybody's got a coaching program, everybody's got a business opportunity, everybody's got the latest and greatest new crypto coin, everybody's got the latest stock. It's all, the distraction is not new. You know, it's always been here, but because we're always looking at screens now, there's just more, everything is basically an opportunity. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything's an opportunity. You have an opportunity to do so many things. There's actually too much opportunity. And so, you know, learning that, oh my God, what is an advertisement? What is the intention of somebody creating a video or this article? What are the links in this article? Are they getting paid if I click these links and go through and buy something? So actually YouTube's paying these folks a percentage of the advertising revenue to just post their videos on YouTube. Oh, wow. So you start to understand where the money is being made, how the money is being made on the internet. And it starts to, a whole new world opened up, because for a long time, making money, getting rich, how people got rich was a mystery to me, Alex. I had no idea. I thought that the only way to do it was just either work construction or, I don't know, sell drugs, be in the mafia. You know what I mean? Like, you either had to do something wrong to get rich, or it was a mystery to me, right? And so when I started to understand where the actual money was getting made and how it was getting made, that was a pretty big aha moment for me. And of course, that got me more excited and, you know, more wanting to get involved in every damn thing that came that I saw. Right. But I, as you just pointed out, had to learn that multiple streams of income was not for me. I needed to get one stream streaming before I was worried about multiple streams streaming. Right.
Big time. And again, you know, you guys, like, if you're watching this, you got to choose one thing and make it work. Like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of businesses out there, not all of them, but a lot of them do work. But you just got to pick that one until you're being successful, right? And if you recognize those patterns in you, like what I had, of going from business to business or idea to idea, you know, it can even be from sport to sports, right? But if you recognize those patterns, you got to recognize that and be like, no, I'm going to focus on this one thing until I'm successful. And at the mastermind, you remember, one of the points I had was, it's like when you find something, whether it's legendary, the education here or anywhere else, give yourself like a realistic expectation, because most people will come into something, you know, like this and be like, I want to make 20 grand in 2 months, which was my initial thing when I got into online marketing. And obviously that didn't happen. But thankfully, I learned about setting realistic expectations. And I learned, you know, to give yourself, right, 2 years expectation. And I was like, oh, but
two grand in 20 months would have been more realistic than 20 grand in your.
Yeah. So, you know, I set that expectation of 2 years, right? And it didn't feel good, but I was like, I'm just going to give it my all on this one thing and not get distracted. And 6 months in, I made my first sale, $900 commission. And I was like, wow, if I didn't give myself that realistic expectation, I probably would have quit before those 6 months, right? And this is applicable here as well.
Yeah.
And now that I'm saying this, I said this at the mastermind too. A lot of you, especially you, like the guys that got started yesterday or in the past week, you're going, what, 2 years? But I'm seeing all these other people making, you know, a few grand a week. And I asked this question to the audience. I said, where are you going to be in 2 years anyway? Right? Are you still going to be in your sucky, soul-sucking job? Right? Working for a boss you hate, not seeing your kids, right? And being able to be there for them, always exhausted and not being able to give your kids the energy they deserve in 2 years, right? Like, you may as well give it your all. Yeah. And by setting that realistic expectation, heck, you might give yourself the space to make that first commission in the next month, in the next 2 months.
Yeah.
Heck, that first high ticket in the next 3 months, right?
Such a good point. Such a good question. Like, when you ask rational questions to yourself, it's like, you know, I really don't have anywhere else to be in 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, these short little unrealistic goals that I set, these time frames, especially as a grown person, it's like, okay, look, I hope to live to be 100 years old. It's like, okay, where are you going in 2 years? Where do you need to be? Where do you need to be? How accomplished do you need to be in the next, you know, 2 months or 6 months, that you need to be making 20, 30 grand a month in the next 6 months, that you can't chill out and just dedicate and step to this? Oh, like, yeah. Any of any one of our parents, grandparents, great grandparents, any one of them would have said, sit your ass down and learn this shit, because this is going much faster than I had it, right? I mean, think about
back in the good old days, right?
Oh my God.
It's like you go to college.
Oh,
and
my
what?
God.
2 months in, I'm not making 20 grand a month.
They're laughing. They're laughing at us. And you know what? It's just, you know, we're also laughing too at ourselves, but it's a serious thing. Like, this is costing so many of us so much money by having unrealistic expectations and not really approaching this business like professionals, but instead like just side hustlers. You know, if you treat something like like a game, like a gimmick, it's going to be a game. And when you're acting like this is Monopoly money or like, hey, you know, you're the, and how does this show up? Well, the way it actually shows up in practical life is that I compare myself to other people who I see out there on the internet or who I see inside this community, who I see anywhere, any community. We compare ourselves. And then, of course, it's a natural thing. It's difficult to just like be new. It's difficult to be a beginner. It's difficult to start at zero followers. It's difficult to start at zero commissions. And we don't want to go through that pain and uncomfortability, you know, of walking the road that every other person has to walk if you want to be successful. And I have this belief, Alex, that entrepreneurship, especially in this industry, doing this business, is like Survivor. And the most important thing is just outlast. You don't have to outsmart. You don't have to outplay everybody, because people will quit. People will get distracted. People will stop doing even what works, Alex. I've seen people who have started making great money, and then they just like dudes who have YouTube channels and stuff who are just crushing it with affiliate marketing and just stop making videos. And it's like, so for us as human beings, it's hard enough for us to like just steady eddy, like just be consistent. Even when shit is going right, we have a tendency to self-sabotage, let alone at the beginning on that kind of lead up to becoming successful, just like staying in that pocket as a quarterback. Everybody wants to scramble, but the great quarterbacks sit in the pocket a little bit longer and then look for that right pass. And so it's like about kind of learning to manage our anxiety too, right? Like figure out, so what are some of the things that you're giving great advice so far? What are some of the other things that have helped you kind of go from spammy to more seasoned, you know, from more side hustler and dabbler? I thought the thing that you did at the mastermind with the dabbler, the master, the stressor, would you explain those kind of three different types of people? And maybe we all could try to identify with one of them and say, hey, which one of these three type of people that Alex is about to describe might I fall into? And maybe you they're seasoned. So maybe you might feel like you're in a different place now than you were a couple of months ago, but I thought this was powerful.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what?
I don't know if you can see it.
If you get it right,
I'll try.
We can kind of see it, but we can at least see the graphs. There you go. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Actually, can I share my screen here? Because I do have the slides.
You can, brother. You can.
All right. Cool. I'll go through this. Like,
you hit the present, and then it gives you a couple of different options.
Yep. There we go. Got it. Share screen. Share slides. Nope. Go share screen. Sharing screen.
Y'all pay attention to this, what he's about to show you all, because this really was even eye-opening for me as somebody who's been doing this for over a decade. Check this out.
Cool. So this is the condensed version, guys, all right? And I'm going to go through this a little bit because I also want to talk a little bit about strategy, because I shared at the mastermind, I actually grew an Instagram account from 1,350 followers to over 200,000 followers in 7 weeks. So I would love to give a few of those little tips for people, but you know, I'm gonna dive into this. So there's three types of people you can show up as in your business or anything you do, right? So the first one is the dabbler, okay? And the dabbler is, I'm gonna explain, usually I draw it and it kind of makes more sense, but I kind of just explain it. I'm sure you guys will get it. But the dabbler is that person that goes from business to business to business to business, hoping that they're going to strike it lucky, right? So in this graph there where the dabbler is, right, on the left, as it goes up, right, anyone that starts a new business is always going to be an easy degree of success, right? It could be going through the challenge, setting up your funnel is somewhat easy, right? Buying the domain name, right? That's a little bit of success. And, you know, they feel great and they go up and have success and eventually they hit a plateau and they're like, oh crap. Like, you know, I'm not progressing any further, right? And they've hit that plateau. So eventually they just quit. And then they go, this isn't for me. I'm going to go on to the next thing. And the same thing, right? They start having a little bit of success. Maybe they set up another funnel with a different business. And then eventually they hit some challenges and are like, oh crap, challenges, this is not good. And then they quit. Right. And then they go they dabble from business to business to business to business to business. Now, are they ever going to have success doing that? Freaking hell no, because they're just dabbling and they're never getting past those initial problems and challenges. And I would say that most people that quit when they start a new business within the first 2 months, 3 months are probably just dabbling. Right. So that's the dabbler. Now, the stressor is a little bit different. They will continue to have success. But instead of quitting, right, initially they'll have that initial point of success, right? They go through the challenge, they set up their funnel, maybe they get their domain name, maybe they connect, you know, maybe they're going to connect AWeber, but they're not able to do it. And they start stressing, right? They don't look for education, they don't look for help. And they're like making decisions here, everywhere and everywhere, like all over the place until eventually, oh, they get some success, right? And they figure it out. And they're like, yes, I figured out how to connect AWeber. Right. And then they continue. Now they load up the emails, you know, their email series, and they connect, you know, to the funnel. And then they realize, oh crap, I don't know how to connect the domain name. Oh crap, let me figure out here and there, try to make all these different decisions, and they're, you know, in the back of office of ClickFunnels, and until eventually they figure it out. And they're like, yes, I figured it out. Right. And then they have a little bit more success, right? Until they get to the next challenge. Now they're like, oh no, how do I post a TikTok video? It's like, oh, let me press all these buttons here. Let me try to record one. And, you know, they don't know what the heck they're doing until they figure it out. You know, they figure it out, right? And then, you know, they put out 5 TikTok videos and then they're TikToking. Or maybe they get a banned video or something, or a strike policy. Oh crap, what do I do? Do I click the button? Do I contact customer support? Oh, I got that video back, right? And they will have success over the long term. I know some people like saying that's me. They will have success over the long term, but guess what? They're stressed AF. And is that a way to build a business happily and fulfilled? Absolutely not. And I've been there with multiple things, even in little things, right? And it's not fun, right? Some people will quit eventually too because they're in those stress feelings. Now, let's go to the master. By the way, guys, if you're like resonating with this, just let me know which one you're resonating in the comments. I'd love to know. Already some people is, I think I am the stressor. I need to change that. All right. This is how you change it. You want to become the master, right? And the master is someone that, same process in the beginning. They get started, go through the challenge, you know, they figure out, okay, cool, I can get ClickFunnels, I get the domain name, and oh no, I don't know how to figure out the domain name. You know, you've hit a plateau. It's a challenge. But the master knows, no, I'm a master. I'm not going to dabble and quit and go on to the next thing. Otherwise, I'm going to have the same challenges. Or I'm not going to stress here because I could stress for the next, I think someone said, I think it was Scott at the mastermind. Oh, I stressed. He says, I was a stressor for 30 days trying to figure out the domain name DNS, like one of the complicated things, right? So the master will be like, I'm not going to stress to figure this out. It's that I'm going to get advice. I'm going to seek support. I'm going to look for more knowledge, right? So they go, this is just a plateau. So they'll go seek out that knowledge, maybe watch some YouTube videos, maybe go through the blueprints again, maybe get on one of the blueprint coaching calls, maybe ask in one of the Facebook groups, right? Like what that challenge is. Oh, Jay's on here. Hey, Jay Thompson. Awesome to see you here. New friend that I met at the mastermind. So that this person, you know, their success is going to dip a little because they're getting that advice or seeking out that knowledge. And eventually they're going to figure out what it is. They're going to get that DNS domain connected to ClickFunnels. And then they're going to start progressing up again. Right. And, you know, it's going to be easy. And eventually they're going to hit that plateau again. It's like, oh my God, got issues here, got problems. Right. But the master is going to go, no, this is just a plateau. Okay, let me figure out what the one big problem I have right now is, and go seek out that knowledge to fix this one problem I have right now. So again, they're going to go to a Facebook group, ask a question. You know, that, you know, their success might go down for a little bit, but once they have the answers and implement it, they're going to go back up again and start seeing results. And they're going to do that over again. They're going to hit a plateau. They're going to go seek out knowledge. You know, the success might go down a little bit while they get that knowledge, but then they're going to be able to go up higher until they hit that plateau. And this is how you succeed, right? And one of the things I said at the mastermind, guys, is, it's funny, do you remember I said to everyone, guys, who would love, and I'm going to ask everyone here, who would love to never have problems again in their business? Type X in the comments, right? Let me know if you would never love, you know, you don't want to have problems ever again, you know, with building your business. And I know it's going to take a while for the comments to go through. But then I said to the audience, I said, too bad. Too bad. Like, everyone's hands went up. And I said, too bad. Because problems, like, all the X's are coming in. Yeah, sorry. And I said, too bad. Because problems are a part of business. I said, problems are normal. And what you want to do is when you run into problems, you want to do this. Realize, okay, I've got some problems. This is a plateau. Let me seek out the knowledge to fix this problem. And once you do, you're able to overcome that and move on to that next level of success. And, you know, one feedback I got at the mastermind with Jay Thompson, right? Jay said to me after, you know, I spoke, I think 2 days later, he goes, you know what, Alex, what you shared at that, you know, this really, really helped. And he's building this business for himself. I forgot what it was, storefront online or something. And he said, with what you shared, he said, I was having this one problem that I just couldn't figure out. And I was just thinking about it in my head. And from what you taught, what I just shared with everyone right here, he realized, wow, that course I bought, they have a Facebook group. So he went to the Facebook group, asked the simple little question. And within an hour, he had the answer. And boom. He figured it out. He wasn't worried or overthinking about it anymore, and he was able to move forward. So guys, if you want to build a business, right, long term, and I said in the mastermind, if you want to make money for the rest of your life and never worry about money again, this is the key, right? Do you want to be the dabbler? Do you want to be the stressor? Or do you want to be the master? Right? Everyone, comment in the comments and let me know. But I'm going to assume everyone's going to say the master, right? So yeah, Dave.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's unbelievable. And I saw a comment. It is a tricky situation to be in, as Will said. If the plateau is hard to deal with, if you don't realize it's just a plateau, but you know, you're learning right now. You know, you're learning right now. Everybody who's on here is kind of learning right now, the same way that you learn if you're investing in stocks. Okay. So we talked a lot about at the mastermind, the power of the perfect analogy. So I'll give you an analogy right now. It's like, you know, I mean, after you sell your whole portfolio at a loss a couple of times and get your ass burnt, you know, financially, you stop doing that. You know, you realize that it's a plateau. It's just like anything in life. Once you throw away a marriage or go and get a divorce upon your first argument, or the first time that the honeymoon phase wears off, you know, you stop making those mistakes again. So you know, it's ebbs and flows, ebbs, flows, ebbs, flows. It's the same in anything in life. There's going to be times when you feel like your marriage is just on fire, and other times you're going to feel like it's just like a cold blanket. You know, you just can't, nothing, you know, there's going to be times where you're going to feel on fire with your kids, so connected. And there's going to be times where you're going to say, what have I done with my kids lately? I've been so busy. What am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, there's just... It's normal. And so this,
or you get a concussion doing a TikTok.
right. That's a whole nother story. But you know, this is just like anything in life. And for whatever reason, you know, we come into this and we either complicate it. We catastrophize things, but how we do one thing is everything, how we do everything. So I would challenge each one of you, if you're feeling like a dabbler or a stressor here in this business or in your business, then I would also look at other areas of your life too, because the truth is that these patterns may not be, You may have everything else completely dialed in and feel totally happy and fulfilled. But my hunch is that habits, they translate over into other things. And, you know, I've been, or you might be dabbling in one area of your life and stressing in another area, or, you know, only mastering one area while letting the rest of your life go to hell. So it's just such a powerful kind of, there's only three choices. Am I stressing, dabbling, or mastering anything that I'm doing? I love those three choices because it lets me do a self-assessment of like, who am I right now? Am I showing up as the master, like setting proper expectations? Am I understanding this is going to be a process? Am I understanding also that just because my process looks different doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong? Right? That's how the master shows up. I wonder if you could comment on that, though. Have you struggled with in the past, noticing that you were doing something different or noticing that somebody else was doing something different and initially feeling like, oh, I'm doing it wrong because I'm doing it different? And how have you gotten comfortable as you've gone from, you know, somebody who was maybe more of a dabbler, a stressor, to now more of a master? How have you kind of found your own voice or developed your own daily method of operation, or just settled into Alex Ford instead of a piece of him and a piece of her? And, you know, how we do, we think oftentimes because we're doing something different, we're doing it wrong. And marketing is about being different. And marketing is also, there is nothing wrong. Because if I test it and it works for me, then that's a successful campaign. So what comes up for you when I say just because you're doing something different doesn't mean it's wrong? Or if you're doing,
because you're doing something,
or if you're doing a specific strategy different, like for example, there's so many people, everybody's going to TikTok, and some folks, there might be some writers here. There might be some people who want to blog. There might be some people, everybody's, you know, we look at each other's landing pages. Yeah. We copy it. We think, tell me exactly what to post. We look at people's bridge page videos. I mean, we just copy things, and it's difficult for us to begin to find our own voice because, again, I feel in this industry, there's a big feeling of if I'm doing it different, I'm probably doing it wrong. Right. And that's just not the case.
I got it. And I think this ties in really well into my Instagram account.
Perfect.
Right. So just before the Instagram account, and it's just reels and TikToks and stuff. So I was doing a lot of things in my business, right? And a lot of them worked. Blogging, some YouTube videos, running Facebook ads. I had a podcast I'd started, and a lot of it, you know, was working. And this kind of has a second lesson to it as well. I got to a point where I realized I'm very overwhelmed doing so much stuff. And I decided, so many people, and just listening to Wake Up Legendary helped me realize this, which, by the way, guys, the power of Wake Up Legendary, huge, right? Dave could be charging for this, but he's not. And just listening to people when everyone's just doing one thing, all right? TikToks, reels. And for me, I'm like, literally, I got to a point where overnight I decided I'm going to just stop doing everything. Stop podcasts, stop whatever, Facebook ads. I had a coaching program. I had my own courses, and I'm like, literally everything, stop. And just focus on Legendary, one thing. This was like 2.5-3 months ago now. Legendary, and figure out this whole TikTok reels thing. I haven't really done much in that. And I honestly didn't even want to do it because it was an uncomfortable thing. But I just said, I'm doing it because it's working for everyone. And I started doing it. And when I started doing it, I was like, I don't want to be like everyone else. I want to be original, right? And a lot of TikToks were funny, quirky. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I want to be cool. So I started putting out, you know, content, you know, with me just kind of like being really cool in the videos with cool music in the background. And then, you know, videos with my family, but it had to be really cool music in the background and kind of like slow motion. And I did that for a month. And it got to, and my account was growing. Like literally, I probably got 100 followers in that month, but I was trying to be different. Okay. But too cool, right? That coolness. Now in hindsight, it wasn't working, right? And after a month, here comes the whole maybe stressors thing. And I'm like a little bit worried, frustrated. Why is it not working? Mine's cool. It should be getting a lot more views than everyone else. And it wasn't working. Your TikTok wasn't getting me many followers either, right? And anyway, I stopped for a few days. And then I got back into it. And I had to check my ego and realize, do I want to grow my ego or do I want to grow my bank account? Oh, yeah.
Continue on.
And I'm like, I'm going to suck it up and I'm just going to copy what everyone's doing. All right. Like in my own words. But there was one thing I decided because I'd still learned some stuff through what I learned. And I'm going to say, I'm going to keep it. Model it as close as I can so that essence is still there, but I'm going to add a little bit of my touch, a little bit of my style. So this is what I did. Same videos as other people.
This is the entrepreneur journey, baby. I love it.
It is. As you can see, like, and I don't recommend this for people, but I've got a fancy camera. I've got some lights here. I don't recommend this, by the way, guys. I've been doing this 11 years and I enjoy having, you know, doing things a bit more techie. So I wouldn't recommend if you guys are creating content, use your phone.
Thank you for explaining that it didn't help. It wasn't helping. It was too cool for the money. The money was like, hey, you're too cool for me. I can't even get close to you.
So what I did is I copied people's content. I still use a fancy camera, right? A little bit of light in the background, but it was as no fancy editing, no fancy captions, right? Like used to take me 1 hour, a bit over an hour to edit a TikTok. But I, you know, still a little bit of my style, but as simple as possible, as simple as possible.
Yeah.
And literally, for 4 weeks, my account got 100 followers, right? I decided to copy people with that slight, like 5%, 10% uniqueness. And within a week, my account went from 1350 to 100,000. And I was just like, what? Like, you know, the feelings, the rush that you get from that. It's like, you just can't believe it. Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And anyway, 100,000. And I had a lot of people in Legendary and friends and BPAs messaging me like, oh my God, like what's going on? And then I just kept going. And then I don't remember what happened. I think I stopped for a week for some reason. But my videos just kept going, getting views and views and views. And then a week later, another 100,000. And I was like, what? And like, if you look at my Instagram account, there's not that many videos. So from when it started growing, I think I posted like the Apple, you know, a lot of people do the you know, did you know that Apple will pay you whatever amount per hour?
Yeah, I know. That I know that video. Baron
got like 7.5 million views now.
On your account?
My Instagram account.
Oh my God. Ian McClure is the best one of that. Did you do it with an Apple on your finger though?
Nah, I did it showing an iPad and a phone, like an Apple devices.
Dude. So a guy, I don't know if you know him.
Baron McClure.
Yeah. He had an Apple that he drilled a hole in and he started the video off and then he threw the Apple behind him. You saw that?
Yeah, I did. It is so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. But mine was, you know, a little bit different. I think what caught the attention was a mix of lots of things.
Sure.
Was I do think on, this is just a gut feeling. Don't hold me to this, guys. But TikTok is raw. That's what people love there. Raw AF. Instagram has always had that little bit more of an aesthetic feel. So potentially that might have been part of it. But I think for me, I showed the Apple logo right on the on the hook, put the Apple logo there. I showed an iPad and a phone together. I think using props is powerful.
It is.
Because when you use props, like if I go, you know, this phone right here, by the way, look at my background. Be consistent.
There you go.
Wow. But, you know, when you use props, like even me just doing this, and, you know, I didn't purposely want to show you my background, but it's engaged a lot of you guys.
Yeah.
So whenever you use props, anything that you can use right in those first 3 seconds helps. And with a powerful hook, like what you're saying,
yeah,
it grabs people's attention, guys. And logos as well. So if you're, you know, talking about a company, Nike, Apple, somehow put that logo straight away, because then people recognize logos and it draws them in, right? So anyway, that happened. So back to your question was like, what did you do different? Well, initially, I just got rid of trying to be too cool. Oh, and some of the other videos, by the way, were quirky ones where, you know, I used these glasses and like I put them on, they fell off, right? Off the table or whatever. And that one blew up as well. And then I'm like, wow, that worked, being quirky. And I felt very uncomfortable of trying to be funny.
Right.
So then I tried, my whole goal was, how can I make videos funny? And when I'd make them, I'd show my wife as well, because I want to make sure I'm going to get a reaction from them. Anytime my wife...
You know what I'm laughing at? I'm laughing at the concussion, but you can get to that later. But go ahead, finish this story.
Anytime I show my wife the phone, if she goes, what does that mean? I'm like, no, that's not right.
Oh my God. No, the things we put our, the things we put honest. Our, what? Yeah. Oh God. The things what you were just saying a minute ago, how you were driving around town when she was pregnant, putting signs that are supposed.
And two days later, she gave birth.
She was in her ninth month. Oh my God. So why don't you gave yourself a concussion making a TikTok, and you were really trying to be funny and it just wasn't working right.
All right, I have to share the story. A lot of the mastermind, you promised and we didn't follow it through. So, oh good.
Yeah.
So let's give it now.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's close that loop for all the people at the mastermind.
A few weeks.
Here's a bonus.
Before the mastermind. I was going to create a TikTok, and it was one of those just like where you're frustrated, right, with your 9 to 5. And then the next half was oh, look, I'm working, you know, a side hustle and loving life. And the first part, the frustrating, I'd see some other people do it and they'd just be like this. But I'm like, let's just go all out. And I literally went like more violently than that, like, ah. And you know, the camera was quite far away and I was like, oh, I kind of don't like that. The angle is not right. So anyways, I progressed to doing it about 35 times. And after 35 times, I go, shit, I think I have a concussion. Seriously, I felt like so spaced out. I'm like, oh, I can't do any more work tonight. I got to go to bed. So went to bed. The next day, I was just like not feeling good, right? So I went to see the doctor, and the doctor's like, you know, he did some tests, asked me some questions. I even had to get an MRI. The doctor's like, yep, you have a concussion. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. And no joke, I couldn't make out my sentences cohesively.
Oh my
God. Even when I spoke to my wife, she was like, are you okay? She's like, I have to stop. And it's like, give me some, I need to just breathe. All right. And then, right. And I couldn't, like, no jokes. And then I had to work on the slides for the mastermind. And I could only work for 1 hour a day. And then my brain would be hurting. Right. And taking painkillers. Man. Moral of the story. Don't shake your head violent when you're doing TikTok.
Don't try to be so funny.
Still gonna remake that TikTok, by the way.
Oh my God, dude. The things we do, bro. We've all done this kind of shit. I mean, just absolutely just mortifying shit, embarrassing shit. I mean, I told a story about how, you know, you gotta write every day. You gotta write every day.
Oh yeah.
And you know, when I was very in my first few months of doing this, I was emailing my list every day. It didn't matter if I had 10 people, 100 people, whatever.
And my wife got into a, well, she was my girlfriend then. She got into a really bad car accident and she broke her neck. And wow. I'm like, you know, go and visit her at the hospital, you know, go to make sure she's taken care of, da da da. But she stays at the hospital, you know, 24 hours goes by. Well, I got to write an email, you know, and I use things in my life, you know, to you tell a story and make a point. So anyway, she's on my list because she does a lot of my, now this was 10 plus years ago. She did a lot of my editing. I would write an email and I would send it to her to edit. And of course I had her subscribe to my list so she could see all my, well, anyways, I guess she was, you know, laying in the hospital bed and saw this email that I wrote about her breaking her neck, you know, and she of course immediately calls me and is like, what are you doing? Like, this is so inappropriate. You know why? And I'm like, oh shit, sorry. I didn't realize how offensive this would be, like how insensitive it would come off. Like, but, and I was just trying to have content. I was just trying to find content, you know, and it's like, just that was just one of the many things that I put her through, you know, and not to mention all the driving around town with the magnets on your car and the things we put ourselves and our families through. But it's all in the great spirit of entrepreneurship. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you this know,
I did that today. I did it 2 days ago, right? And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but my daughter came home and told us something, like in confidence, something exciting that happened in school. I'm not going to share what it is because now I know it's a private thing. My wife messaged me the conversation back and forth between her and I, and I'm like, this is going to be great for my audience. So I screenshot the conversation. I put it as a story on Instagram and Facebook. It was up for 6 hours. My wife goes to bed. I was doing some work. And then she comes out 10 minutes later and goes, babe, we need to have a conversation. I can't go to sleep because this post you put on Instagram, I just don't think our daughter is going to like that if she finds out and when we grow up. And I'm like, she gave me the explanations. And I'm like, oh, shit, I think you're right. And I'm like, I'm like, delete. Gone.
Right, entrepreneurship like the hustle clouds our judgment. Like, I think that's a great takeaway from this, and it's like that's all the more reason why, especially at the beginning and all throughout. Like, to me, opportunity is like a drug, right? Like, I get intoxicated. That I'm a business opportunity seeker. I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So when I have an opportunity to influence, an opportunity to market, an opportunity to share a story, an opportunity to evangelize about my product, service, or what I'm doing, I'm going to do that. And I sometimes might lose my judgment. But
and we're men, right? Like, we're not men.
You got, we're big dumb animals. I mean, you got that. We got that going for us too. But yeah, absolutely. It's like, The you know, we have to be careful because we've got all this amazing energy at the beginning and all throughout our business usually. And it's like, imagine this is the power of this, is that when we finally learn to channel all this creativity and put it in the right direction instead of scattered all over, you know, I can't tell you for how many years I worried about like post what I posted on social media for my friends and family and like what they saw and stuff. And it was just an example of me wasting energy. And it's like, now that I know what works, where to put my energy, and I create a system. That's for me why having a system, a daily method of operation. I show up, I do Wake Up Legendary. I have scheduled calls throughout the week. I have my success is mostly scheduled, for the most part, because that gives me a place that I can channel all my energy, channel all my creativity, channel everything. And it's not just throwing spaghetti at the wall. It's not just randomly coming up with ideas that I'm going to, you know, I'm planning my success. I'm, as things are happening throughout the week, what this might look for some of you is write those things down. So you can begin to pre-write emails. I mean, I'm even meeting people who are affiliates in our community and they've got content lined up for weeks in advance. I mean, that's pretty That's pretty awesome. That's pretty sophisticated. Imagine having a business to where you have things that are lined up for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, to where you can go on vacation, take some time off, whatever, but your business is still running because you've properly channeled all this creativity and all this energy that we have in the right places. And then you can actually, Alex, get this. Then you can go on vacation and not be having to hold your phone in your face the entire vacation performing for your audience, but you can actually enjoy your family when we schedule and organize and properly channel our energy into the right places instead of just these random places that end up, you know, not even making sense in some respects, as we've just showed. So it feels good to become more of a seasoned vet in this business, in this industry, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the biggest thing I've learned about all this being a season is have some freaking fun. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the most fun interview I've had. Schedule stuff, but make sure you're having fun doing it.
Yeah.
Right. Even because it, something I learned a long time ago, if it's not fun, is not going to get done. Right. So.
Jesus, that's a humdinger right there. If it ain't fun, it's not going to get done. Hello.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, who wants to build a business that you hate? Yeah, not going to want to show up if you're doing strategies every day you hate. You're not going to. But there's also an element of needing to learn how to fall in love with things that we're doing as well. But I digress.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, like, if you guys have a partner, a spouse, wife, husband, whatever, get them involved. This is something I've learned even recently, right? Like today, actually, when I got back from Florida at the airport, my wife recorded a video of the kids, you know, welcoming me. She recorded it. And then today she goes, you know, use that video for a TikTok. So literally, I'm going to post it as soon as I'm done, right? Mm. I already got it ready to go. And today I was working and there's a couch just behind me and she was sitting there and she goes, hey, I just recorded a video of you working. You should use that as a TikTok. Right. And I'm like, what? My wife's doing my work for me. Mm. Right. So I don't know how I got to this, but, you know, having fun, having your spouse fun. Involved, make it fun. Make it fun. And she has, and I'm realizing she's enjoying that. So it's like, if you have a spouse, just be like, hey, babe, hey, you know, hubby, whatever. You know, if you ever see me doing it and you think it would make a good TikTok, get your phone out, record it, and then just send it to me. Right.
God bless America. That might be one of the best tips I've heard on this show in a while. That's a great tip and a great idea and an absolutely fantastic way to ask your spouse or somebody who you're with a lot every day, but especially your spouse, to just participate in such an easy, safe way for them to support you.
Exactly.
I love
it. And
it
only takes 10 seconds. And she knows that now, 10-second videos. And whenever, like, I don't even know. I was like, oh, you just did that? Oh, cool. We'll look at that looks pretty good. You could give them some tips on the angle or whatever you want. But once they have it, literally, like, now I can visualize my future. It's like, another video. I don't have to, like, be thinking, because they see you in your everyday life, right? And and they know when something looks good or you're engaged. And now they're airdropping it to you on your phone, right?
Yeah,
and then all you have to do is put some text, music, post.
So sweet. Such a nice little sweet gesture. And of course, a very simple ask. I see that a few of you say you're already doing that with your spouses. Tim says that he's doing that. What's up, buddy? Cool, man. Alex, you're on fire today. This has been so fun. But we got to leave a little something to be desired. So let's bring this in for a landing. What do you want to leave folks with today, brother? Any final words? What would you tell people who are struggling going from dabbler, you know, and stressor to looking at their business more as something they can actually master?
Yeah. The biggest one is just like sell yourself into your dreams. That would be the biggest one. Because sometimes when we get into something like this, we have this little dream or dreams that we want, but we don't have that passion for it, right? Mm. And I think people would know now, Dave's, you're passionate about what we do. I'm passionate about what I do. But it all comes from, you know, like selling yourself your dream to the point where when you feel fire that you want to create that, that you want to get out of debt, that you want to give your kids a better life, that you want to retire and have all the money in the world to enjoy a life. Like when you truly sell yourself into that dream, nothing's going to stop you, because then nothing else matters but creating that. It, you know, taking action, going through the blueprints, going through the challenge, buying the challenge, buying the blueprints, right? You know what steps you need to take when you know that there's no option but, you know, to create your dreams, because you have that passion and fire, you know, in your belly to create it. So that would be my biggest takeaway. I mean, biggest, you know, last thing to give or to give.
It's powerful, man. Really unique perspective and great piece of advice. I'm going to leave it right there, brother. We had a lot of fun this morning. I got to go give these old cheek muscles a break.
Totally.
All right.
All right, Dave.
My best to your family. Stay legendary, brother. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
We do.
All right, buddy.
All right. I hope you got a ton of value from that. If you did and you want more and even possibly work with myself and Dave, then I want to invite you to get my free ebook, The Six-Figure Formula. In it, you're going to learn how to build a six-figure digital marketing business in your spare time so that ultimately you can set yourself and your family financially free. To get instant access, just go to alexfordpodcast.com/ebook. That's alexfordpodcast.com/ebook. And if you're enjoying the podcast, your feedback would be appreciated. Just leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, sharing your thoughts, what you love about the podcast, and any feedback would be appreciated. All right, I'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to the Alex Ford Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit alexfordpodcast.com for more free resources on how to build a six or seven figure online business. And turn your digital marketing dream into a profitable and rewarding full-time career. And if you love this podcast, remember to subscribe and follow Alex on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.